Thank you, Curtis. I don't think it. That I can say what's in my mind properly. The speaker this morning is Bob Eddy, and so I've lost quite a little bit of weight. Curtis had trouble earlier in Sunday school find one of the books, so I went looking for one of mine ahead of time, because I always have a hard time finding some of the smaller books where they're not thick. They're kind of hard to locate. Have here Alan reminded me, a referendum for the church. It's about as disjointed as I am. It says, each local church shall meet the third week in June. I thought this was past June, but which will be known as the General Church Conference Week, to consider all matters recommended to them from the Conference of the Ministry of the Church of Christ. Scattered members may obtain ballots from the general office, but you are here if you care to. The ballot will be here for you to vote. I'll leave it on the desk on the podium. Votes received by the General Church after July 31st shall not be counted. So maybe we don't need to vote. However, I think they have changed their mind on after they type all these good things up. Two referendum items. Personally, in my own thoughts, kind of ridiculous to be sending them out. But they didn't ask me what I thought, so we'll. One is naming of the whole committee for audio and visual, and they had a whole bunch of letters, and they want to shorten it down to shorter letters. And as far as I can see, that's really all it amounts to. Is we got 13 paragraphs or 13 items. The last one says these guidelines will supersede any previous conference and reference to action in conflict therewith. I don't know what I'm supposed to recommend for or not or against, but I thought it was ridiculous for them to send it. But I'm not against anything. So if you will accept that as a lectioneering or whatever you want to call it, that sounds good to me. And I'll leave it.
There's another referendum on the back.
Yes, I did. I said there was two.
That was on the ADBA.
Yes. And that's have the seal of the church. I believe all of you probably received this in the mail, so I'm not going to read it to you. If you didn't care to read what's come in the mail, you probably wouldn't listen to what I have to say. But my recommendation, both of them, if you want to know, is, yeah, I see nothing wrong with what they're doing. I don't see anything very important about it either. But that's beside the point. I tried to call Bob yesterday, numerous times, and his phone was busy. I believe he's got his computer online, so it stays busy. So I gave up. See if he was going to be here today. But finally I decided, well, I'll wait till the morning and find out. And I got here and I found out. Probably the thing that you're most involved in right now at home is the Olympics. At least we watched at our house. And it's pretty sad to think while they were there trying to compete peaceably, Russia was attacking Georgia. The president of Russia, or prime minister, whatever, the head man was there, but he scurried back home to direct traffic. We read so many places in the scriptures that be wars and rumors of wars, and they're thick. We've been at war, at least that's what they call it, in Iraq for the last 4 or 5 years. Though it'd be hard to know it was in war to look at what goes on around about us here if you weren't in the military yourself or wasn't listening to the news people. You would not know that there was a war going on. Of course, the individuals that are there, the individuals that give their lives, is just as great a sacrifice as World War II was when, to me, we had an all-out war. We didn't have rubbers for tires. We didn't build any new cars. We didn't have sugar enough to put in the coffee. Everything was rationed. And I think about the sign that somebody put up at a restaurant, because it didn't have much sugar to put in their coffee. And some people just dump sugar and sugar in, you know, and then drink the coffee off the top and the sugar stays in the bottom, which is a terrible waste. And some people did do that. So they put a sign up that says, use 2 teaspoons of sugar and stir like heck, except they didn't say heck. We don't mind the noise. But where are we? I don't know. I really don't know. But I feel that things are going to collapse around us. I had thought that, well, let's say 30 years ago, 35 years ago, 40, I'm not sure how long, we had an influx of church members over in what they call Almond Valley. And they established a church local there at Collins. And they had quite a bunch here. We don't have quite a bunch here this morning. And I envision that we will drop down rather than get larger. Sad as I have to say it, I'm afraid that that will be the state of the Collins local. Caused by what? I don't know. I don't think it's outside persecuting us. I think it comes from within. And so, do we each of us have to take a bit of blame? Yes, I think we do. But in the end, our soul salvation is what counts. Curtis made a pretty nice introduction. Used up a little bit of my time. I hope he didn't use over 30 minutes of it, because I don't know what I was going to fill the rest of it up with. But I'm going to read from James. James, not but, what, three chapters? And I think, no, it's four chapters. Five chapters. Anyway, still a few pages. I want to read the second chapter. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come unto you assembly a man with gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou here, or sit here under my footstool. By the way, the time that this translated into English, gay, did not have the meaning it does today, any stretch of the imagination. Gay clothing means nice clothing, I think. But do we respect people by the clothes that they wear? I'm afraid we do to a certain extent. Let me say, I'm afraid that I do to a certain extent. And I kind of try not to, but it's a little difficult. Are you not partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, halt not God chosen the poor? Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to them that love him? But you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? And if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, as do well. But if you have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. I guess I'm the only one wearing a suit this morning. Is that condemning me? Am I condemning somebody else that they're not wearing a suit? I certainly don't want to give that impression. Not at all. Because what you wear doesn't make you what you are. But then I remember the song that says, give of your best to the master. And I kind of take that to mean that give of your best, whatever, whether it's your clothing or what. But not just a superficial, like your clothing only, but your love, your strength, and the needs of the poor people. Had a call. What's that day? Sunday, Saturday, Thursday night, I believe. And someone wanted to borrow a refrigerator dolly to move a refrigerator, and he was going to come. Want to know if I'd be there, if 8 or 9 o'clock on Friday would be all right for him to come and get it. Well, I didn't catch his name, but I did find out where he lived. He knows a lot of people in the area. I said, well, I don't know what the day might bring me. I'll put it out on the driveway, and you can get it whenever you want. It's still there. So I don't know sure how bad he needed it or wanted it or what. But apparently he lived down here in the old Prigmore house, if you all know where the Prigmore house is. Maybe you don't know where the Prigmore house is. Alan ought to know, but maybe not. He's kind of a youngster. Down the hill here, past the Baptist church, to the bottom of the hill, on the right-hand side, two-story big yellow house about to fall down. And apparently he's living there. Doesn't look like it's habitable. My thought was, I just assumed he didn't come out to my house. I just assumed he didn't see what I had out there, because he might come back later and get some of it, more than just a refrigerated dollar that he'd asked to borrow. But I'm judging him, am I? So I shouldn't do that. So I have a problem, same as everybody else, in just exactly what this reading. Did I plan to commit my shortcomings by reading this? No. I haven't got to the part that I wanted to read. I just stumbled on this part. But it kind of hits me in the stomach. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin, and you and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. For he that saith, do not commit adultery, saith also, do not kill. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become the transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, and hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man says he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? Perhaps that's the verse I should have started the reading. Maybe I made a mistake. Maybe I didn't make a mistake. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart ye in peace, be ye warmed and filled, and notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. I don't think I've ever heard of anyone that thought there wasn't, that there was more than one God. And I don't know that I know anyone that don't believe that there is a God. Though I understand there are many around that would deny that there is a God. They would deny that the creation, would deny the Bible. If we do not believe that there is a God, in my opinion, we're totally lost. And then when we believe there is a God, do we believe what he teaches, tells us we must do? It says, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. Devils also believe and tremble. So just because we believe there is a God doesn't mean that we are living a righteous life. But wilt thou, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? I think I must have missed the word. Let me read it again. But wilt thou, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? You know, that's a thought that one of us might have to offer our child. My children are getting pretty big now, but whatever age your children are, that we might have to offer them as a sacrifice. But Abraham was willing to sacrifice. Yet he did tell the son that God will provide. And if we know the story, there was a lamb, I believe, might have been a goat, but animal anyhow. And some briars that he used for sacrifice to the son. But he was willing to sacrifice if he need be. Seest thou how faith wrought with his words? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. See you how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. We know that God is a loving God. At least we hear that frequently. God is great. God is good. God is a loving God. But if we tempt him enough, he can also be a very vicious God. And we, not you and I here this morning, but we as a nation, or we as members of the whole world, literally, figuratively, of course, spit in his face. I can't keep thinking of the beautiful over in Beijing, where they all marched in with all their grandeur, and yet I don't know whether that the head of the Chinese people, which I don't know his name, don't even know what to call him. I don't know if he reasoned that he could, bat a home run with one little thing. Millions and billions of dollars spent on it. And the greatest thing was that little tyke walking along with a big ball player. The news people said the little boy stole the show. And as far as I'm concerned, he sure did. But I'm concerned. We don't dare. I don't think we dare, in any circumstance, to go to war against China. There's just too many of them. They got too much force to fight against. And I don't anticipate that we will. But I don't know who all we may go to war against. Don't know who all will go to war against us. I don't know whether our country's might will overcome that which is around us, or whether our country will collapse from within, from sinfulness of the people, from sinfulness of our leaders. The news just the last day or two about this man back east that was run for vice president 4 years ago. His having an affair with one of the women that he denied for so long, but he finally admits that that was true. I don't think there's any chance he's going to be our president. But one that has a fair chance of being our president, I'm very much afraid of. I'm afraid he'll bring us to our knees from within. Do I find something in the scriptures to verify that? Well, not exactly. But yes, kind of. Because the scriptures tells us that the gospel will go first to the Gentiles, which we've had now for 180 years, thereabout. My math's not quick enough on it, but that's something short of 200 years. But then it will go from the back to the house of Israel or to the Jews. The head of the Jewish nation was at Beijing. He was concerned about getting out of there before midnight. I don't know whether it's midnight Beijing time or midnight Israel time or what, but that's when the Jewish holiday started. And he was making plans to fly out, even if the program wasn't over when the time came. Things are not good. We don't, most of us, enjoy the price of gasoline, because we feel a little better about it while it was a month ago. But we have lots of things to worry about. But there's only one solution. Our personal, me, myself, and you, yourself, righteousness. All, we may lose our lives, but if we save our souls, much better than to save our life and lose our souls.